for centuries. Darkness ruled over the world. The evil and the wicked reigned supreme. But along came a podcast imbued with light.
Oh yes, welcome back to the Spiritual Trading Podcast, and today I'm joined by my guest, Nikki Gaffin, and she's pretty good at what she does, and so you just have to bear with her. She hasn't got much breath left, and she's a little bit sleepy, but that's fine. That's because she's vegan, and she's got very low energy, and so it's to be expected. She's low on protein. Her iron is probably at the floor. Any moment she needs a transfusion, but she'll be right. So tell us, Nikki, how did you become organic? Because normally I ask, how did you become spiritual?
Yeah.
And today I want to ask, how did you become organic?
Okay.
Because it might be more important. Because everyone goes, I'm always spiritual. But, you know, I'm not going to give you a chance to answer the question. I'm just going to keep asking
you
the question.
Talking,
yeah, I'll just keep consistently delivering another question on top of another question. So how did you become organic?
I'll start. Well, I think I became spiritual.
Oh, hello, by the way.
Oh, hello, Dan. I think I became spiritual as a result of becoming organic.
Oh, I see.
I think because I went organic.
Normally, I would say, is it chicken before the egg? But I don't want
to
get into
that to vegans either.
That's
yeah.
Right, yeah.
We're just on the organic thing. We just started.
All right.
So becoming organic, as I said, it led on to a number of different changes in my life. And the main thing that happened when I went organic, I feel, was I changed the way I looked at nutrition, at food, at, you know, health. It was, I went to a health retreat up on the Gold Coast hinterland, and I was inspired by the food there, the people there, and a health practitioner. To change a lot of things in my life and my lifestyle. And the main thing that I got out of it was to eat, you know, in harmony with nature, eat food, you know, organic food. Mm. And, you know, obviously I made a number of lifestyle changes at the same time, which really helped me change, I think, my mindset and the way that I, you know, felt. But
would you say it was an organic awakening?
It was.
Like awakening to organic food, and that created like some kind of situation where you're like unraveling, becoming more aware of more things because you're eating better?
Yeah, definitely. It was the first time in my life that I decided, like I went there for the week. I was, you know, you eat all organic. There's no alcohol. There's no caffeine. There's a lot of activity, physical activity, but also yoga, meditation. And at the end of the week, I realized, you know, I felt so good. And I think most of my life I focused on weight loss, and I had, you know, I was overweight for a lot of my teen years, and it was always about diets. But for the first time in my life, I felt like I want to be healthy. And so the focus changed since then from I want to lose weight to I want to be healthy. I want to gain health. And by going organic and eating organic fruit and veg, like I never really ate a lot of vegetables. I didn't like the taste of them. And when you eat them organic, they taste a lot nicer. They, you know, as well, when you get it local, they're extremely fresh, but they have more flavor. So that, that mindset change was, I was by myself a lot of the week, and I decided that nothing was ever going to be the same.
So how long ago did this happen?
That was 12 and a half years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. And what triggered you to go to that retreat in the first place? What was your life like before that?
I was at university at the time. I was pushing hard. You know, I was coaching a lot of sport, working different jobs, going to uni. It was my second or third time back at university in my late 20s, and a lot of caffeine.
What were you studying at university?
That time I was studying primary school education. I was set to be a teacher, and I've wanted to teach my whole life. And so when I found organic food and got really healthy and had a big quality of life change, like I felt good and I was a lot happier. I had a different social circle. Instead of going to the pub on Saturdays, we'd have meetups at houses, you know, alcohol free, and we'd go to yoga six times a week all together. So it was a different friendship group, and I had like a different, I guess, zest for life. And
and you teach that now.
So now, yeah, ever since then, I obviously a long way about it, but I dropped out of university.
Yeah, go back. You dropped out of university.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I decided that I wanted to teach and share organic food because that was the start of a lot of different discoveries in my life and a lot of, you know, I was like, okay, if this is what's going on with the food system and with our food, then what else is going on that we're not aware of or that I'm not aware of? And then I started discovering a lot of different things, but it all started with the food. So I decided that my way of sharing that with others and enhancing others, you know, quality of life and, you know, connection to community as well with organic food and farming, I'm going to teach about this. And also at the time I was sharing organic produce, you know, sourcing food for others and delivering it. That's where it all started back then. Yeah.
And so you, your name is Miss Organic on the Insta.
That's it.
And how serious are you about it? Like, you know, is it like a 99% organic, 1% sneaky things? Like you go and eat out sometimes, or is it like fully strict, or is it like 50-50? Like what's the deal?
So for the last 12 and a half years, there's only been two products that I brought into my house that are not organic food wise. And I know what they are, and they're not, one of them I don't do anymore. And one of them I support a friend's business probably once every few months. And I buy something that's vegan and not organic. But other than that, I don't bring anything into my house.
Wow.
When I go out, I rarely go out because I just like the way that I feel eating chemical-free organic food and knowing who I'm supporting and what I'm supporting and also what I'm doing to my body. It's like a, you know, nourishing myself and, you know, it's an act of kindness to me when you sit down to eat. It's an act of love and kindness. And so by eating organic food and obviously vegan food, for me, it's, you know, showing myself and the community and the environment and our farmers that respect. And so I like going out for dinner and I like eating out with friends, but it's just a very rare occasion and I'd rather invite friends into my house or go to their place. And it turns out that a lot of my friends and family members are, they support organic farmers too, and they shop at the farmers markets or they get home delivery. When I go to Sydney and my sister cooks me dinner, it's always organic and always vegan. And because I've been this way for so long, people just, that's the way it is. And I think, you know, it's
Are there many good, are there many good like vegan organic restaurants that you know of that you frequent if you're going to go out?
Unfortunately, it's a challenge to maintain a vegan and organic restaurant. I know that even any kind of food business, there's not a big margin in, you know, in restaurants, especially when you do it organically. So there aren't at the moment. I know that there are outside of Australia. A friend of mine had an organic vegan business in Sydney for many years and she worked very hard to maintain that. But yeah, the expenses are high and the margins are small and it is a passion project. It's a real full-time, you know, 24/7 job. So, yeah, I'm sure it's possible, but it's, you know, a lot of places that were organic have, especially in Sydney, they've dropped the word organic and they've
brought in other products.
They've pretty much used non-organic fruit and veg and they say organic where possible. There are some fine dining restaurants around, especially like I know because I'm from Sydney, I know, and even Melbourne, that use produce from organic farmers and they'll go to the farmers market early and they'll pick up the produce. Like Yellow in Sydney, which is a vegetarian vegan restaurant. He always came to the farmers market to our farmers and picked up food early. Same as even Icebergs, you know, fine dining in Sydney. They use a lot of certified organic produce because they know that it tastes better. But that's your high-end restaurants. And I think you'll find that in most cities in Australia that the good restaurants will be using organic food, not advertising it, but just, it's just obvious.
The best product.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's so many different avenues that I could go down, but like we went to a farmer's market this morning and you were like, I feel like I'm just walking in like blindly, just stumbling around in the dark and you're like, you can see what stalls are like organic, properly organic, what's fake organic, what looks like, you know, no, but seriously, what looks organic, what looks like homegrown, you know, nice produce, but there's a difference. And I wasn't aware of that. I just thought, you know, you go to the farmer's market, you get fresh food, that's fresh food.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can go one step back and go, you go to Coles or Woolworths and get, you know, the probably the most chemically covered food possible. And then you go to your normal, you know, street, you know, fresh market and you're going to get better quality food. But you're like, but it's still this kind of the same as Coles unless you know what to look for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
So a lot of people think you're going to a farmer's market, you're doing the right thing by your health.
Mm.
I believe that if you're not buying organic food, then you're buying healthy-looking food.
Mm-hmm.
But healthy food is, to me, certified organic food. With our local farmer's market here, not all stores are certified organic. We're lucky that we live in a region up here that we have so many organic farmers. And the great thing about it, when you go to Byron Bay Farmer's Market and you'll go to the certified organic store, like Frankie's sweet potatoes are $3.50 a kilo.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the non-organic store two doors down, non-organic sweet potato is nearly double the price.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a line because the perception of organic food being expensive, people just automatically go, I'll just go to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people support non-organic farmers at these markets thinking we're doing right by our community, we're supporting local farmers, and we are, and that's great. Like, I'd much rather people support
local farmers community than support the big yeah. corporations. Yeah.
However, if you're shopping for health,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I won't say go to the supermarket instead, but it concerns me that when you're shopping non-organically at a local farmer's market, those farmers are putting such toxic chemicals into our local environment. It's in our air, it's in our soil, it's in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just people don't know. So I think, and one of my main jobs now, what I've taken on, is to educate people on what is really organic and what isn't. And I think once people are more informed, they just make better decisions. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is there are farmers going around and saying, we are organic, but we're not certified.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, there are people who are doing that who are not really doing things right. So mm-hmm. it makes the people who aren't certified organic, who are actually doing the right thing, it just paints them with the same brush.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I feel like certification is really important. There's always going to be, there's politics in every industry. There's always going to be people who don't do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, again, living up here is a dream because you get to meet your farmers, you get to ask them the questions, and through education, we get to teach people to ask the right questions.
What are the right questions then?
Well, it starts with the soil. You mm-hmm. ask them what, you know, do you use synthetic fertilizers?
Mm-hmm.
You ask if the soil has ever been treated.
Mm-hmm.
You go to, you know, pest management, they call it, control systems. So you say, what do you use to manage your pests or control how you, you know, treat the bugs if there's an attack?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go, there's all different, well,
a hierarchy
there's
of
a
questions.
Whole lot of different questions. And then there's an answer that's, you know, allowable. And there's an answer that a lot of people, like with weeds, you say, what do you use to control weeds? Now, a lot of people who have said at the farmers markets, we're organic, but we're not certified.
Mm.
And you ask them that question, you say, what do you use to treat the weeds? And then they go quiet because they're using Roundup, they're mm-hmm. using glyphosate.
Mm.
And that has been known to cause cancer. I mean, there are court cases that are proving, you know, that people have, you know, it's toxic, it's not good for our environment, and it's definitely not organic. You cannot mm-hmm. use that in organic farming.
It's banned in Europe, right?
It's banned, yeah, in most countries.
Glyphosate.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And don't have to, even GMOs here in Australia, people think they're no GMOs, but there's genetically modified food
mm.
all over here. There was another thing I wanted to point out about the not really organic. But yeah, it's hard to find out and tell, and that's why at the moment the best thing is just to shop with certified organic farmers.
Mm. And once you know what to look for, it's not that hard to do, because I guess people, the reason why they don't shop organic is because, one, that the rumor is that it's too expensive.
Mm.
And I always thought that too, but I always used to go and shop in the city, like in Earlwood or whatever, go to Leaf or whatever, and you're spending
yeah.
three times as much. But when you go to the actual farmers markets, and we went the other day, and it was cheaper
yeah.
to go to there than it was to Coles. Like Coles yeah. had things that were more expensive than the organic farmers at the market. So
yeah.
it's once you know where to go and what to look for, it's not hard, and it's definitely not more expensive.
No, it's cheaper. At Lismore Organic Market,
mm.
that produce is, yeah, definitely cheaper than Coles, and it's all certified organic. That's mm. the market you were talking about last
that's
week.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
love that story you said to me about how long it takes to grow something, and you're like, and that's only $3
yeah.
or something. So yeah. it's actually super cheap, and that's the thing. The other thing is people call organic food expensive,
mm-hmm.
but it's
But what's the price of your health, really?
Yeah, it's like priorities. To me, like $4 for a bunch of kale, that's cheaper than a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bargain.
Yeah.
And as you say, the amount of time it's the from the soil to, you know, having healthy soil to the seedling, like a lot of farmers buy their seedlings in. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, that's an even longer process because they're planting, raising their seedlings, then they're putting it in the ground. Then they're harvesting it weeks or months later.
Yeah.
And then they're bringing it to the market.
Like, here's $3.50.
Yeah.
A bunch of kale. I'm like, how did you afford to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say before. It was about the soil. We were talking about how do you know, what are the questions to ask. But I was going to say it's really important that to me everything starts with the soil. And before I got into like organic farming education the last few years and I was selling organic food and selling the benefits, I really didn't care much about organic soil. I was like, I did a course. I was like, are we going to talk about dirt the whole weekend? And we just talked about dirt for 2 days. And after those 2 days, I realized like that's the foundation of everything and of healthy food. And if they don't look after the soil, the really good farmers don't use as much, you know, pest management control or inputs because they have healthy soil. And especially with biodynamic farming, which I'm learning and teaching even more now, it's like nature, you know, nature is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the whole system of conventional farming is just completely removed from nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have an issue and then we'll spray the stuff and then the soil and the plant remains unhealthy and then we keep spraying. It's like, it's exactly like an unhealthy human.
Mm-hmm.
You put them in an unhealthy environment, feed them junk food, and they keep getting sick. Then you're going to keep taking medication and then you're going to keep getting sick. And then you keep doing that instead of
addressing the underlying issue.
Yeah. Living in healthy soil, living in a healthy environment, just like those plants.
I've heard people talk about the soil as the equivalent of like our soil is our gut biome, right?
Yeah.
So we have soil inside of us and if you don't look at whatever you're growing your food in, obviously it's going to have an impact on your gut biome as well. So,
yeah. Definitely.
So I didn't have any of this education. Like I know, like, you know, eat healthy, eat organic. It's like it's a nice idea, you know, previously, but it was really interesting just to go with you and just to be like, you know, like go to this place, look at that particular food or that particular thing and be like, oh shit, you wouldn't know the difference. And what's the difference between your normal run-of-the-mill Coles farming and organic and biodynamic in conversion organic?
Now we're going to talk in conversion as well.
Like what's all that about?
Okay, so conventional farming, as I just explained, that model.
Is that like monocropping well?
Yeah, well, chemical farming.
Mm-hmm.
They start a lot of time, the soil is treated, they use synthetic fertilizers even before the seed's in.
So is there any testing done on the product?
Yeah, so it's a dead soil. Mm. And this is the thing, a lot of conventional farmers are planting on dead soil. It's not sustainable because, I mean, over time, you're destroying the land.
Mm.
Organic farmers, the rule of organic farming is you leave the soil in better condition than when you started with it. But the testing, I heard that conventional farmers, they test their soil to see that they're actually using, and the plants to see they're using enough chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And the organic farmers get tested to see that there's no chemicals and no residue.
Yeah.
So it makes, it's actually crazy. And, you know, with a lot of people think that you can just wash off the chemicals in conventional food and that it just goes. But it's just,
it's not possible. Where does it get the water from? Yeah. If the water comes from the soil and there's chemicals in the soil, then the water's going to get chemicals.
Yeah.
And it's going to absorb that. This is naturally, right?
But I mean, when you've already, it's harvested, it's back at home and you're like, oh, cool, here's a cauliflower. I'm just going to wash it.
Yeah.
Well, that cauliflower has been grown in synthetic fertilizer.
Yeah.
It's been sprayed probably so many times because, you know, or you don't know how many times. There's some, you know, you don't know the conditions and you don't know what bugs, what things are going on. So they get sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, so there's a withholding period where you can't, like where they say that the chemical
is still alive.
And then it's no longer effective. But a lot of the time, I think asparagus in spring in Victoria, the farmers spray, and I'm not saying all farmers, I'm just saying I've heard because I've spoken to farmers, they'll spray and then they'll harvest before the 3 day period or the 5 day period and get it in the store so that the bugs don't come back and attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the chemical on the food. And there's a meme on Instagram or whatever, Facebook, that says, like, you know, you've got to wear suits, and there's signs at the farm saying, danger, don't enter, like pesticides in use. And then all of a sudden, boom, magic. It's at the supermarket. No worries, guys. It's healthy to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, so that's the conventional farming method. Have we covered that a bit yet? Yeah. So the organic method, there are levels to me of organic farming. Mm-hmm. And I know this, like, there are some big farmers that do a really great job, and they look after the soil and they plant, you know, they're companion planting, and they really look after, to me, it's very important, you know, the base, the soil.
Mm-hmm.
There is monocropping in organic as well as conventional. People do grow a large amount of food, and, you know, we do need to feed the masses, and we do need that. There are some people who are doing it really well. And then I'm sure that there are some shortcuts. There are allowables in organic farming in Australia. There's standards that you have to abide by. So, but you can't put any toxic chemicals in your land. You can't be spraying glyphosate. So there are rules in place. And to me, organic, certified organic, is always going to be a next level from conventional. So there are certified organic farmers, especially here in the, you know, Byron Shire and Gold Coast area and further north, that do not even use organic pesticides. You know, they, you know, it's a slower way of farming, and sometimes you're going to lose some crops. Sometimes you, you know, you have to put, if there's something that happens and, you know, you need to spray something or you need to use something, there's organic methods that are actually adding health to the soil. And that's the way that farmers look at it. And I'm obviously by no means experienced compared to all my farmers, but the way I understand it is, if there's something that's coming in and attacking, like an unhealthy body, or it's, there's something missing in the soil or the, you know, so instead of putting like things that'll die, kill the soil or kill the plant or the animals, they'll put something that adds to it. So it's adding nutrition so that these bugs go away, or they're like, oh, I'm not interested anymore because it's healthy. You know, I've seen people spray like, I'm just trying to think, just minerals. Or, you know, there's neem oil or garlic, those kind of things that are actually foods or medicines that you can use.
But the bugs won't eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
And then they go away. So biodynamic is, it's an enhanced method of organic. It's, you know, it really is a, it's a, like a holistic system. And yeah, they really look after their soil. And I find, you know, organic food tastes amazing. It always seems to be that there's something really special about biodynamic farming and farmers, and their food is next level, as you know, by the bananas there. I think they're the best bananas in Australia. But there is something very unique and different, and I'm learning a lot about biodynamic food and farming now. It's something that's quite big in Australia and parts of Europe, but yeah. So there's, but to me, organic and biodynamic tastes better as well. And I think that if someone's saying that their food's organic and it's got an off taste or it's not quite right, then there are also questions about it, you know. There are shortcuts in everything, and where possible, especially in Australia, we've got so many wonderful farmers markets in every single city. Like, we have premium organic markets in Victoria, in Sydney, in, you know,
Hunter Valley,
in Perth. There's certified organic food everywhere. Newcastle, there's a few wonderful farmers there. So
I understand we might need some of that more, you know, while there's less farmers to do the job, we might need some of that, like, more bulk food producing, right? So they can justify using all the chemicals because there's too many mouths to feed, right? But there's no reason why there should be anything left at the farmers, at the organic farmers markets. You know, there should be the case where that goes first at the highest price because it deserves it. And then, you know, you eat your way down the food chain, you know. But yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing that you have, you know, people shopping in your Woolworths and Coles and without having cleared out the other option first, the healthy option first.
I think it's a lack of knowledge, and it's the perception that organic food is expensive. And I, it's one of my life missions to tell people it's not expensive. It's the price of real food. And if you care about your health and the environment, where you're living and where your children are going to live, then you choose organic. You can grow organic if you feel like there's a as a cost difference. You can, there's, you know, there's steps. And, you know, yeah, I went 100% organic because that was my priority. I've never felt healthy and more vibrant and, you know, more passionate about something to teach before. And I, the more I learn about the chemicals in conventional farming, I just don't want to put it in my body. I just feel like, why would I when there's an organic farmer's market here and, mm-hmm. you know, organic farmers to support? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Where were we? You went to the retreat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was 12 years ago. Then what happened?
Came back, decided I was living back with my parents at the time, and I came back and I told them that we're going all organic. And I cleared out their fridge and pantry, and they thought I was on a phase.
Mm-hmm.
But they were okay with it because, you know, I went shopping and I just started eating organic. Filled up everything with filled up,
good produce.
The thing that happened before I went organic and went to this retreat, we had my parents had a dog, Rocky, that was sick. He had cancer at a very young age. And my mum read this book called Give a Dog a Bone by Dr. Billingsworth, I think, and it taught her to feed Rocky his natural food in his natural environment. So no microwave, no processed food, no dog food.
Who microwaves dog food?
People use microwave for their own food, let alone dog food. You know, like people use these things to cook their food.
And what are your thoughts on microwaves?
That's another podcast.
Okay, yeah.
I just don't believe that we need it. Like if you need to reheat food, just use the stove.
Absolutely.
There are apparently countries that it's banned.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm. And I spoke to people recently who said that it's not actually as bad as we make it out to be, but I just say it's... Anything you have to stand back a meter or two to cook it, and then all of a sudden you're putting it in your body, it's going to change the properties of the food.
Yeah.
I'm not a big advocate of cooking food for a long time. Like, you know, I just think that the more we get like closer to nature, the better it is for our bodies. There are obviously some foods that need to be cooked or that are better cooked. Like, I mean, arguably people say don't eat potatoes, but I mean, I've seen a kid in Victoria in Elwood eat a potato raw. He took it from the shop and he just ate it raw and he enjoyed that. You know, medicinally, maybe it is good raw. I've heard that potato juice does wonders. It like sponges out toxins in your body, organic potatoes. But where was I? When I talk about potatoes, I get distracted.
Yeah.
But cooking, microwaves.
Microwaves, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the mechanics of a microwave is that the microwave causes the molecule to excite, and so it gets excited, and when it gets excited and moves around in the food, that creates friction, which creates the heat, and so naturally you're fatiguing the food. But if you're fatiguing the molecule of the food, and then you're putting that food in your body to make the molecules of your body with, right?
Yeah.
So sounds you're putting like fatigued molecules in your body.
Sounds exhausting to digest that.
Yeah.
And I find a lot of bodybuilders or people who are doing meal prep and then reheating their food, they lack energy and they require caffeine. And a lot of them, have issues with, you know, it's also boring when you eat those plastic meals and it's bad for the environment. And heating food in plastic doesn't sound like a good idea either because some form of plastic must get into the food. But you find that the energy drops. And the more you heat and reheat food, you know, isn't that one of your Ayurvedic things?
Prana.
Not to reheat food, to eat fresh food all the time.
That's right. It's best. But if you're going to reheat, sometimes you can't help it.
Sure.
You use the stove.
And then add a bit of water if you're scared of it drying out.
Say some mantras, re-enliven it, you know.
That's it. Just say the prayer and everything's That's changed. Right.
Eat the love and all that.
Yeah. Well, back to Rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rocky, he had radio... and he had treatment, but nothing healed him or helped him like the food did. Like, and mum just went all the way with, you know, that. She studied nutrition and Ayurvedic medicine as well after that. But it was, she discovered, you know, that eating your natural diet and natural environment, cutting out processed food and those kind of things. I mean, my family always ate quite healthy, what we call healthy. You know, we didn't eat out much. Mum cooked all the time. Dad cooked all the time. But it was a struggle to get me to eat fruit and veg. And I was sick a lot. I think nearly every month I was at the doctor's and I was taking pharmaceutical drugs for a whole host of things. There are a whole host of things that I have healed and strengthened through my organic lifestyle change, which But it was really that inspired me. Really, I always talk about Rocky the dog. If he could heal himself just naturally with food,
mm-hmm.
And some of the dogs at the park, Mum started sharing wisdom with them. Yeah. And instead of taking these pharmaceutical drugs and getting like vaccinated all the time and all that, it's like, what are animals doing in their natural environment?
Mm.
And, you know, when a dog's sick, why do they eat the grass and the greens? You know, or when people are like, don't eat the grass, don't eat the greens. And like, maybe the dog's eating processed food all the time and it needs green. And that's the thing that animals, like especially like the animals that we've domesticated, are now getting human diseases that are, you know,
related to our food, diseases. Like diabetes and stuff like that.
Yeah. And where in the book, where in nature would a zebra have heart disease?
Doesn't happen.
Yeah. Mm. But our dogs and our cats are now marching off to the vets like we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you change the dogs and animals' diets and they don't have those health conditions. And we stopped taking Rocky to the vet all the time. He was eating his healthy, you know, healthy diet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other
He wasn't vegan though, was he?
He wasn't vegan.
That's good.
I've seen some health, like, look, dogs are omnivorous, mm-hmm. but I have seen some healthy vegan dogs.
Mm.
I don't have a companion animal. I don't have an adopted animal. I feel cats are carnivorous. Mm-hmm. So I know vegans who feed their cats animals. Mm-hmm. But I mean, having animals as pets is a whole nother issue to me that, you know, I mean, you know, I'm all for adopting animals and, you know, taking care of them. But, you know, the pet industry is another kind of industry that, you know, we breed animals for our use and to have in houses, which is completely unnatural. But when you adopt an animal and you feed them a diet, I feel like a whole food diet and an organic diet is essential for them.
Mm-hmm.
Feeding them animals is another
conversation.
It could be another conversation. but back to, you know, Rocky was kind of my inspiration. I started eating healthy when I came back. You know, I was 100% for a year when I came back from that retreat. I didn't eat out non-organically
mm-hmm.
for one whole year. I didn't drink. I stopped alcohol too. I obviously stopped drinking coffee. I just had more energy and I didn't get sick.
Mm.
Stopped taking pharmaceutical drugs. All those health changes
mm-hmm.
started going on. And, yeah, I found a whole new circle and community of friends. And through that health and life change and then discovering all the other things that were different in the world that I didn't know about and, you know, helping others educate about that, I got onto how can I share this? And that's why I left university. And, I felt like I could teach from the outside and get people on the organics and then help people to discover, you know, this is our birthright. It's our right to eat healthy, be healthy, take responsibility for our own health. And that's mm-hmm. what I did for myself. And it was just by fumbling, I discovered that I didn't need to be sick. And it wasn't normal to be sick, mm-hmm. yet I was always sick.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized I didn't need to be sick and I could decide what I wanted to eat. You know, at the time when I went organic, I was paleo. Mm-hmm. It's very paleo. And I went all the way to raw vegan.
Mm.
So I was discovering and I listened to other people. But at the end of the day, I tried everything for myself and
You landed where you felt best.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how long have you been vegan for?
Vegan for 10 and a half years. Wow. I did have a slip up at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Normally
they die within the first 6 months.
I'm actually stronger than I ever have been. Yeah. There's all sorts of vegan diets.
I kid.
Yeah. There's vegan diets. My iron, as you said, my iron levels are super high. My B12 levels are also incredibly high.
Mm-hmm. Debunk that for all of the meat eaters listening.
Yeah.
So, how do you get protein?
So, I mean, there's never been a recorded case on earth of someone dying of a protein deficiency. You know, it's a great myth being perpetuated by certain industries.
Mm-hmm. The meat industry particularly. Oh,
who benefit from us being sick. I mean,
on a side note, I just remembered there's a conflict of interest because I don't really trust Bill Gates and his poisonous vaccines.
Right.
But on one hand, a part of their climate change globalist agenda is to ban red meat. So that's kind of good for vegans. But also, it's bad because they're just deciding what everyone gets to eat and, you know.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a conflict, you know?
Yeah. I just, anything, yeah, I, it's, oh, where do we go with
where
this?
Where do we go?
Yeah, no, because the thing is with Bill Gates is promoting the fake meat stuff. And I mean, that stuff is
that's
incredibly
why
unhealthy and, you know, genetically modified and it's
made in vats.
It's not food.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, what is the agenda for getting people off meat? And people are like, oh, well, you know, because he said, you know, oh, you don't like what he's doing, but then he's talking about like veganism is the way to go. No, he's not really. He's not vegan.
Okay.
He's
talking about that meat's bad, and then getting people to eat the vat made meat. Is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly. He's yeah. what's a problem solution? He's giving you the solution here. Right. Eat my fake meat and be even sicker.
Mm-hmm.
What you distracted me with the Bill Gates stuff? What were we talking about?
Vegan people dying of protein deficiencies.
So that's the thing. If you don't eat enough food, you're going to be sick. Mm. You're going to be unhealthy. There's a lot of people who say they used to be vegan and they're no longer vegan because of XYZ issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there are unhealthy meat eaters. There are unhealthy vegans. Mm. And I think when something goes wrong, we're so quick just to blame being vegan and we go back to our diet. So a lot of people have disordered eating.
Mm.
And veganism... it has been a way for some people to be able to control, you know, what they're eating. So if you don't eat enough food on a vegan diet, you don't eat the right food, you're going to feel low energy. You're going to feel like if you don't eat carbohydrates, then the vegan diet is really difficult to maintain. And when I say carbohydrates, I mean majority fruit and veg.
Mm-hmm.
People are scared of fruit. I was like, it's probably one of the most natural foods to eat.
Yeah.
But
why are they scared of fruit? Is there some myth that it's full of sugar?
Yeah, and fruit will make you fat.
Wow.
But the skinniest I've ever been in my life was when I was fruitarian.
Mm.
I was just nuts. I was running around like 10Ks a day and cycling to work and back. I had a lot of energy, a lot of sugar to burn. Sure. For me, the raw vegan diet worked for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in Bali or Thailand, I eat mostly raw and obviously vegan, and it works. In the winter here, I cook a little bit more. But yeah, I was raw vegan for 18 months and, you know, cheated when no one's looking a few times. I had some rice or some potatoes. My kind of personality energy, I probably just needed something to ground me and that helped me.
Yeah.
I just said it now, but exposed. The vegan thing. So I think 40% of the population has a B12 deficiency, so it's not a vegan issue because I think 0.1% of the population are vegan. My B12 level is extremely high, and some people might hypothesize that it's because I don't wash my veggies and I haven't for 12 years, unless it's really dirty, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, bugs or whatever in the soil. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of B12 that you can get. I think and I'm not a nutritionist, but a lot of the iron and the B12 issues are absorption issues in my opinion. And I find that when vegans have issues with iron, and then I suggest that they go off coffee, caffeine for a month, and then see how they feel, it usually sorts out the problem. Caffeine is a diuretic and it does all sorts of things, including, they say, stripping your body of nutrients. It's so I just feel like, and then when people take out coffee, they need to find a different source of energy or a real source of energy. So it's like we find that we need to eat food instead of masking hunger with caffeine and then getting these highs and lows throughout the day. So my iron's great. After 5 years, the doctor actually called me back into the office after some blood tests and said, we need to talk about your meat consumption. And I went, oh, great. He's going to tell me to stop being vegan. He said, you need to stop eating so much meat. And I said, oh, I haven't for 5 years, except for those slip ups, like when I had at the beginning. But he couldn't believe me because my iron levels were so high. And like before I went organic and vegan, my iron was really, really low. Most of my life I had iron issues and,
And you were a coffee drinker as well back then though?
On and off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On and off. But I think also an unhealthy diet also affects your absorption issues. So even if you're drinking coffee and caffeine and you're eating healthy, then you're probably not going to have the issues that you would have if you were eating processed junk food and vegetarian diet or whatever I was doing back then. Yeah.
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 So there's also wrong ways. Like you do vegan as like plant-based, like organic. So you
whole food,
You do the best, the best version. But there's also the pack of nacho cheese Doritos and a bottle of Diet Coke is also
and
vegan.
Oreos, yeah.
You know,
and that like there are a lot of people who do go vegan because
they watched What the Health or something like that,
or Dominion or. Earthlings, which is the one that really just made me decide I can't support this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to eat animals. I mean, I never liked the taste of eating animals. So I was glad when these vegans in Melbourne invited me into their crew and these events, and they showed me that you could be vegan and healthy and not preachy. No, they weren't preachy, but the ones I joined afterwards, we were very preachy.
Militant vegans.
Yeah, you always have to go through that phase. But a lot of my vegan friends and people I've worked around have gone vegan for the animals, and they decide that they don't want to eat healthy vegan food. And they talk sometimes, some people talk about shaming vegans for not being healthy. And my personal perspective is that we want to be the best reflection of what we eat, of our diet and of our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So as a vegan, I would like more people to consider not eating animals or things that came out of animals. And if I'm going to be eating junk food and have a lot of the issues I used to have, like skin issues and, you know, just
bad,
you
health.
Know, low mood and all that, then I don't think it's going to be as inviting, you know. But it's also, to me, it comes back to an act of love when you sit down and eat. And when I had some vegan junk food when I was a big time vegan activist and I was going out, I was sitting at dinner, I was eating this vegan hamburger and chips, and I looked at it and I just went, like, where have I gone? Because I was like, what is this, an act of love? And I looked at it, I was like, no, it's not. And I had a few bites and I went, I'm not eating out with these people anymore. I'll go and I'll have a water. But you know, you can get so distracted with like protesting and standing up for the animals that you forget about looking after your health, or maybe that's not a priority for them, you know. And I love and respect them for looking after our animals and having that care, but at the end of the day, the environment that we live in, you know, that's a result of, if it's like I ask vegans to make the connection with what they do eat, not only what they don't eat, but what they do eat. We can stand there and show pictures of what happens in a slaughterhouse and or you know, in an animal
what
farm.
Happens to the chickens and, and the males get hatched.
Yeah.
And they get minced up.
Oh, yeah, in the egg industry, yeah.
Yeah.
You just saw that. Was that the first time you saw that the other day?
I've probably seen it before.
Okay,
I tried to forget it, though.
Sorry. Not sorry. Not sorry. But make the connection with what we do eat, because the chemicals that conventional farmers are spraying and putting in our water and our environment, our animals eat and breathe, you know, they drink. So if we really love animals, we don't want to harm them, especially bees. We go organic. You know, those chemicals that are spraying on our unhealthy food to try and treat it, mask symptoms of an unhealthy soil. We're killing animals. It's like pesticide, herbicide, fungicide. It's all designed to kill life.
And then that gets put in our gut biome.
Yeah.
And then we need to put pharmaceuticals in to correct the imbalance caused by all of the chemicals put in the food and the water and the soil.
Yeah.
Wow, they've got quite a system.
Killing life. It's a good system. And also pharmaceuticals also tested on animals. So if you want to try and avoid animal testing, then we want to avoid taking pharmaceutical drugs. Yeah. It just comes back to looking after ourselves and having like self-responsibility.
Yeah. What about, okay, I want to be the devil's advocate and argue for the you know, it's too hard. Like, what about, it's just easier if I can just go to Woolies anytime, farmers markets are too hard to find, or they're not open all the time. Like, what's your advice for that?
Your advice?
Yeah, if I'm in Melbourne right now, you know, like Melbourne's different because they could probably actually, everyone could go to the markets.
They actually can't, unfortunately. Oh. So, well, it depends where they live. With this 5 kilometre radius.
I forgot about that.
There's some, yeah, unfortunately, there's a few areas, even in central Melbourne, that cannot access any of the weekend markets. However, the great thing is that there is organic home delivery. My friend Earthy Mama in Melbourne, she does a great home delivery. There's quite a few of them, but also...
Earthy Mama?
Earthy Mama, cool. Yeah. And she, her boxes are really reasonable. I think that she's not, you know, they're so cheaply priced. She gives such good value to her community. You know, they work tirelessly. She's nonstop and she has kids and, you know, she's doing two delivery days and she makes sure that everyone's getting organic food. And it's, even if you buy an $80 box each week,
mm-hmm.
that's $10 a day.
Mm.
And even if you're not eating all organic, that's the one thing that you do have that's fruit and veg delivered. I think she even has $60 boxes, which, you know, the amount of effort and energy that goes into that, I wouldn't even bother.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think you're losing money on that. But she still goes for it. And yeah. it's so, she cares so much about the people. And then, yeah, there are a lot of farmers markets in Melbourne.
Can she deliver to anywhere outside the 5Ks though? She's allowed to?
Yeah, she can. Yeah, oh, food delivery can. And then the farmers can come into Melbourne. They're outside of 5K. Mm. So there are quite a lot of farmers markets. What's this weekend? Is it the first? No, second. There's one every single Saturday and Sunday in different areas. My favourites were always St Kilda and then Gasworks at, what's it, near Albert Park.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some up north as well.
And they have farmers markets or organic markets or
so whatever. They're not all organic, but there are a lot of certified organic farmers and biodynamic farmers, some mm-hmm. of my favourite farmers. And
they have signs up at the front, right?
They'll have signs and the magic question is, are you certified organic?
Mm-hmm.
Are you certified organic? And there will be some. And
South Melbourne markets have any?
South Melbourne markets, I've forgotten. There used to be some certified organic grocery stores, some mm-hmm. shops.
Yep.
I think, yeah, there must be an organic shop. And, of course, the big markets, Queen Vic markets, there's organic vendors there where the cops came a few weeks ago with their shields.
Yeah.
They were shielding the organic bananas. That's what they were doing. Yeah, protecting them. That's a good food. So, it was funny, one of the vegans posted this cool thing and she's like, finally the cops are like keeping people out of the meat section of Queen Vic markets. That was cute. Yeah. And so there's pretty much Melbourne, you can get organic food.
Delivered.
Or delivered.
So that's the answer to my question right there. Just get it delivered. But it's also good to get out there and meet the farmers as well, right?
And during this time where you are not really meant to be going outside of your house except for set hours, mm. what a beautiful opportunity to go out and connect with people and connect with your farmers. And I know during the lockdown times up here, when everything was shut except for the farmers markets, that was like therapy for me. That was like mm-hmm. excitement. That's how I started connecting with all these farmers up here. I would go to a farmers market every day mm. and that was an essential because I, you know, I buy food every day, but it was so nice. So I think that if you're in lockdown and you're inside all the time, the mm. best thing is to go to a farmers market and especially the organic farmers. You see, there's still a lot of joy and they're, you know, sharing what they love and the food is so healthy and it's a really nice day out. Like it's mm. really special to get out there. So yeah, that's one thing that I really advocate for your health, mm. just to get outside and go to the markets, yeah.
Beautiful. What else? Miss what? Organic?
Mm.
Anything else you want to add?
I could talk for a few hours about, what's interesting to you?
Well, what about your story?
About what I do?
Yeah, like how, yeah, what are you doing to do now?
Yeah, so what I've been doing on and off for 12 years was... I did fresh produce boxes. I'd source the produce and then deliver it to people and decide pretty much 90% of my customers would let me decide what they were going to eat in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And 10% would choose their own items. But I would make sure I sourced it as local as possible from organic farmers. And, you know, the main thing for me is increase the amount of leafy greens people were eating and teach people how to use all their food.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great passion of mine to get the best food into homes and the freshest food.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I also like organic home delivery and also farmers market is because it's super fresh. Now, all these organic retail stores, big and small, they do the most wonderful service to our community because they have that on offer, you know, 7 days a week. They're great places to go to. And I think all your dry goods, your pantry items, your nuts, your seeds, your grains, great to support organic shops instead of going to the big shop.
Mm-hmm.
But where possible, you know, support the home delivery and the farmers market because it's the freshest.
Mm-hmm.
But now my main, that whole thing was to, you know, get a small community wherever I was living on the organics. But now my big picture is twofold. The main thing is to encourage, I want to increase the demand for organic food,
mm-hmm.
organic and biodynamic food in Australia. That's my big goal is demand more organic food, grow more organic food, and for people, to buy more food. So I work with organic farmers, farmers markets, and share with them, teach them how to promote themselves
mm-hmm.
and to tell people, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So marketing, social media on that side. And then on the other side, I'm teaching people the importance, the necessity of eating organic, why we eat it, how we eat it. And I'm, now that I've settled up here, there'll be more education, there'll be more writing again. Hopefully I'll be able to go back in and do workshops again with gyms.
Mm-hmm.
But just teaching how, why. My big thing is how we can eat organic on a budget,
mm-hmm.
like with a very low income, still manage it. But yeah, and so then marrying that, the people, with where, you know, giving them the solution.
Yeah.
So giving them, you know, eat organic, and
you're
then
creating, you're creating the problem, and yep. you're providing the solution, just like your mate Bill Gates.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I learnt from the best.
Yeah.
And so yeah, and so I just promote that, and I just want people to take responsibility for their health.
Yeah, me too. And I think, yeah. and I think, especially at this time where we are witnessing, you know, the government's maybe doing some dodgy things, you know, ignoring science and peddling yeah. their own fake science and pharmacological solutions to health. It's really important for us to be able to reflect upon what we're doing for ourselves and not outsourcing all of our, you know, healthcare responsibilities yeah. to the government or to the doctors or whatever, because they don't really, they don't speak like this. They don't have our best interest at heart. So they're not saying, you know, I've never seen a press conference of any leader come out and say, guys, go and get some sunlight today and eat organic and you know, turn off the mainstream news.
TV,
it's,
yeah.
it's not like that.
Throw your TV out the window. Throw your TV out the window.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is if we wait for the government to tell us what to do with our health,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, we are. A lot of people are letting the government tell us what we do to be healthy, which is wear a mask, stay mm-hmm. inside, don't touch anyone,
mm-hmm.
Keep distance from people. It's like, don't make eye contact, don't talk to people, keep the TV on, stay indoors,
yeah.
and only exercise for 1 or now 2 hours a day.
Mm.
And so this is our way. And I know from my own experience when I decided to walk away from taking pharmaceuticals and that kind of thing, I think we have a better quality of life. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, the government hasn't banned smoking. They haven't banned
alcohol,
haven't banned junk food, haven't banned, what else is like toxic, like things that, you know, TV, mainstream.
Gambling.
Yeah, all these things mm-hmm. that they financially benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
And same as, unfortunately, the pharmaceutical industry is the same as the chemical industry that's putting the chemicals on our food.
Mm-hmm.
So if that doesn't make you start to question what's going on,
yeah,
you know, then I don't know. Like, it's...
It seems like a good place to start, though, you know, because all that other stuff seems so, it's all the government doing it, and how can we change the soil? And the thing that's going to change the way that farmers farm is demand. And so the more people that we get, you know, eating organic, the more demand there's going to be, the more money they make, the more money they can invest in their farms, the more other farmers are going to see the demand going that direction and then feel like they have to catch up and change their practices.
Yeah.
And so that's the good news. And I think it's something that everyone can do and should do
to
take that responsibility.
And I think it's not, like, I'm not being hard on or down on farmers who don't farm organically. Like, we invite farmers to question, you know, and talk to organic farmers about methods and about maybe introducing more organic practices. And a lot of them have come over, have realized that their yield is better.
Mm-hmm.
The food is better quality. Their customers are happy. Like
they're
dealing with, you know, people at organic farmers markets, always pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mark Rathbone, my favorite biodynamic farmer in Melbourne, he always says that you never, you know, people walk past, you know, but once they've tasted his biodynamic melon or anything like that, there's a smile on their face. But he says generally he doesn't see people like mopey and miserable at the like farmers markets supporting and buying his food and, you know, serving thousands of customers in organic food. You just see the appreciation, and especially when they connect with a farmer, everyone's so grateful in the organic scene. I always say there must be something in the food, especially biodynamic farmers. They've got this knowing face and this smile on their face. And so we invite conventional farmers to adopt more organic. And the most important thing for me is we eat organic because of the farmers, because the chemicals that are used are making farmers sick. It's killing farmers. It's, I mean, this is published in mainstream documents about the damage that it's causing farmers, people who are touching these chemicals. Like if you have to wear a full suit to spray things on the food that we're consuming, like it's impacting the farmers' health.
Yeah.
A lot of illnesses in farmers, like conventional farmers, degenerative diseases that are resulted, you know, from the chemicals.
It's so, not great.
No.
So just eat organic then is what you're trying to say.
Well, that's, I'd love for everyone to eat organic. And if you can't afford or you can't access, because there are people who can't access it, you can buy seeds, you can plant seedlings, you know, or you can buy seedlings, you can grow them. And, you know, where it's more ideal if you buy them certified organic.
Yeah.
Because even the seeds have been treated and dipped in chemicals. And, yeah, give it a healthy start to life. And you are giving yourself and your kids, your future, a better chance. And the way that we treat the environment is the way we treat ourselves, and vice versa. That's,
is that the spiritual wisdom or quote for that you had for me?
Ah, yes, it could be. The way we treat ourselves mirrors the way that we treat the environment, the planet, and our animals. So and we can only be as healthy as each other. Like if I, you know, if I'm the only one in the community eating organic but everyone else is eating chemically farmed foods, like, you know, we all need to rise, like, do it together. But yeah, I really think that that's, it is a reflection of how we treat ourselves. Like when we are taking the time and stopping to decide, is that a loving act? By eating this, am I giving myself the best chance? Am I feeding my brain and my body with the best fuel? So that's why I'd love for everyone to be organic.
And they can find you on Miss _ Organic?
No, underscore at the end.
Miss Organic _.
That's it.
On the Insta.
That's it.
That's easy. Anywhere else? Are you on websites? Do you have blogs? What have you got going on?
Oh, it's about to be launched again. Coming up here, I haven't been posting there so much. I've been working with other people's Instagrams, and that's my main thing. But I'll be, hopefully by the end of October, we'll have some blogs and videos back online, and that book is...
Any day now
the book's coming. I just keep adding to it because I'm just learning so much from these organic farmers up here that I just want to share more.
And one more time, Earth Mama was the boxes in Melbourne.
Earthy Mama. She's
like
in Melbourne.
E,
like the earth.
Earthy.
And then Mama.
Mama.
I don't know if Della has an _ at the end, but maybe. But,
on Insta, you mean?
Yeah, Earth, but you'll find her. And
find her.
Yeah, and if not, there are lots of farmers markets. And get out, get outside, get some fresh air and go to the farmers markets because that's legal. That's allowed.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Selfish. thank you so very much for sharing yourself and all of the stuff, and we'll have to come back for a second version of this podcast and go deep into some less conventional topics. What do you reckon?
I'd love that. Like what?
You know, just things. The I'd rabbit hole.
Yeah, let's do that. That'll be good.
Next time on Spiritual Tradie Podcast.
I nearly didn't say vaccines when I talked about dogs, and I was like, just say it. Just say it.
You feel like you're going to get blacklisted from the saying vaccine?
Yeah, and I just think you've just got to speak what's honest and true for you, even if it's going to, like, even if people aren't agreeing with you or going to agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they are healthful things to put in your body.
Yeah. Well, I saw a graph the other day of the decline of all these diseases that we have vaccines for. And it showed like a historical, that it was already falling anyway. And then by the time it was basically at zero, then they started using vaccines. And so like for something that only affected a very small percentage of the population, then they brought vaccines for everybody in for it. And so we didn't have those things, you know, 80 years ago, not even 50 years ago, we didn't even have these things. And look at all the behavioral issues, all of the problems with, you know, kids and adults and leaky guts and dementia and Alzheimer's and blah, 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 blah. You could go on for days about all these diseases that we just didn't have any of.
Developmental issues, but also, I don't know if you know Zach Bush. Zach Bush.
He's a good friend.
Dr. Zach Bush. He's amazing. He's a triple board certified physician in America. He doesn't like people saying it, but it's like he's a doctor in three different fields.
Mm.
And he talks about the coincidence between not only like, well, he doesn't mention that. He goes into glyphosate and the coincidence that when more glyphosate was in the food and going into farming, same, the incidence of all these health, these digestive issues, but all these degenerative health issues that never existed. But, yeah, illnesses that are, as well as vaccines, the chemicals in farming have, it affects your brain.
Absolutely. And it's not to say like, oh, that vaccines absolutely cause autism or, you know, but all these things have a collaborative effect and contribute to causing sickness and unwellness in the human population. So it could be that glyphosate helps the vaccines cause autism.
Yeah,
or maybe it could even be that vaccines don't even do that, but glyphosate does it alone.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is that we need to not, you know, give out these drugs and spray these poisons because we have to realize that they're toxic. And what they do historically and what we've done for like generations is they'll use something that's poisonous like DDT or whatever, and then they'll put it in the water and they'll be like, oh, this is bad, so we'll get something else. And instead of getting rid of the whole process, they just replace it with another bad thing that they don't realize is that bad until 10 years down the track, and they go, oh, this is causing all these issues. And so we're just replacing bad with bad with bad. And, you know, that's why it's so important. I think that when we look at the problems of like what they would call climate change, you know, and I say that in air quotes because it's nonsense as well. Like the climate's always changing. It's been changing for millions of years. And so I'm not suggesting that humans are not having an impact on the planet, but I'd very much be skeptical about how much impact we're having on the climate. And the Earth has its own capacity to heal itself and to respond to threats and challenges. And maybe we're putting too much pressure on it that might be causing it to do something reactively, like an immune response, an inflammation response in the body, the same way the Earth is doing that. But just trying to tax carbon is it's the dumbest thing. Like, okay, we're doing all this pollution, all this poisoning of the environment, and we're going to put a tax on carbon, and that's going to somehow fix global warming. That's nonsense. Yeah. If you think about climate change, we change the name.
You can't say global warming because the
globe's not warming. So,
yeah. But that's the thing. Climate change... Did I interrupt you? You're on a
I was on a bit of a streak.
Yeah, keep going. Go.
Yeah. And so the whole idea of like, there's a thing called climate change, whatever that means, like that could mean anything. Like the climate's changed three times today. It was windy, now it's not windy. It was hot, now it's cloudy. Like how many different ways can a climate change in one day? You know, there's threats of the sea rising or whatever. Who's to say there is actual evidence if you look at history that the seas have risen and fallen for all times? Don't build a house near the fucking ocean, guys. You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, oh, bushfires too. Another one, you know? You build your house in the middle of a forest. What do you expect is going to happen? Every now and then it's going to burn. But my point is we're looking at climate change as like, oh, we need to tax carbon because carbon's the issue.
But the issue is, even if, you know, I think that when people talk about climate change, they're really talking about stop polluting and stop stuffing up the planet.
They should be, but they're not. Yeah, they're talking about something else.
And they're not actually helping the solution. And that's the same thing as I was saying earlier, was instead of waiting for someone else to tell you what to do and fix your health and tell you to wear certain things or eat certain things, we can do it ourselves. I always say, you know, may we march with the same vigor as we do at climate change rallies to the farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
So people are just waiting for other people to do it and or to do something about it, wait for the government to...
legislate it
or ban a
chemical rather than the farmers taking it upon themselves to take the first step and converting into biodynamic organic farming.
Stop letting mummy and daddy tell you what to do and how to live your life all the time, like that being the government and your mum and dad, but instead just doing the right thing by yourself. And climate change...
There's no doubt there's pollution problems, right? We create
pollution. That's the whole problem. Yeah. And, you know, people talk about stopping, don't use plastic, don't use this, don't, you know, I think a lot of people would say don't use plastic are then not eating organic and biodynamic food, and they're eating food that has been shipped from overseas. So I always question the impact of which one is worse, eating plastic or eating things that come out of plastic, or shopping at Aldi's and buying conventional produce. So yeah, that's another thing. Take it upon yourself, instead of waiting for the government to take more money off you for polluting the environment.
The carbon that the trees feed on to live. So it doesn't even make sense. And I'm pretty sure I'm not 100%, so I make up bro science all the time, that there's some kind of study that proves that the earth hasn't been this green in like hundreds of years, like, because there's so much carbon, there's so much greenery now. So it's actually making the earth more green, which contradicts the idea of it not being, you know, anyway.
Well, things keep changing. And I mean, we never used to call it climate change. It used to be global warming until we realized. And then without anyone realizing.
Before that, it was hole in the ozone layer.
That's it. We don't talk about that anymore. No. Some people do because they think they get sunburnt because of the hole in the ozone layer. It's like, no, because you sat outside all day or you've got a toxic diet and your skin's more susceptible to the sun and to burn and damage. And we're not going there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just wait for the names to change. We don't even realize they're changing names or telling us that something else is, it's called something else now because it's, we have like some extremely cold winters.
And like you said, people will be there protesting vigorously against climate change and still not eating, you know, still eating at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Or like eating
at fine dining restaurants that aren't organic, or getting takeaway in plastic containers.
Yeah.
Like after the march and the rally, they'll go home and eat
shit,
junk food,
crap
and,
food,
and get it delivered, and then they'll get sick, and then they'll go to the pharmaceutical reps, or not the reps, the doctors who will.
They're the reps.
They are the reps. Thing. Yeah, sorry, the salespeople of
the pharmaceutical dealers,
drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
Get some drugs, stay indoors. And then again, go to the next march. Because you know what? Those marches, the climate change marches, didn't the government organise them? You know, we got a schools, they got a day off to go and march.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, if you're on the side of the majority all the time, or the government's organising these, you've got to question. If you're eating what everyone else is eating, you've got to start questioning, is that the right thing to do? If everyone's watching TV, is that the right thing
Unless
to
it's
do?
Organic, of course, then it's
well,
okay.
Well, it's not the majority yet.
No, but when it is, what will be next?
We'll see. Let's go. I think that, Zach Bush talks about, I think it gets to 15% and then there's a big tip and things can change. I think we're not there, but
15%
of farming practices, and we're not there yet, but we're moving towards it. And but it is.
So if you're listening to this and you're a farmer, it's time to convert. Like, you're getting the inside info on best practices to just switch over right now.
It's not overnight, and that's the unfortunate thing. Wouldn't it be nice, but a lot of people I talk to say we've farmed this way all the time, or for centuries, centuries could be in England and Ireland. But I know a rice farmer out west of New South Wales, big time rice farmer, when I was out there last year, and he said that he was one of his areas is converting completely to organic. He's got a conventional area. He's got an organic area, completely different plot, like hundreds of, I don't know, a long way away. And he said it's better yield, it's better for the environment. Like he's saying, money-wise, it's better for him long-term. Because the soil is not going to be absolutely destroyed. When you farm conventionally, you're trashing the soil. Like
that's right. How do we get back to talking about organic foods again? We're supposed to be talking about waffling on into the ether with climate change.
It's indoctrination.
Now we're talking about rice paddies.
Yeah. That's what I
it's
do.
It's indoctrination.
Yeah,
it
that's
is.
How
everything
I'm doing.
Reverts
programming.
Back. That's right. I was going to say that all you need is organic food and meditation, because then I've got a job as well.
Yes. No, but that, honestly,
yeah.
if I can talk about meditation,
yeah.
I think that it does, it really, for me, it really like puts me back into that zone of slowing down, especially when I'm eating my food. And I found lately, since I've been practicing a meditation technique that you've taught me, from your course, which I found very beneficial.
The check will come later, don't worry, I'll pay you.
Yeah, oh, excellent, yeah. Good. I might do the course again. I might learn some more. But ever since I've been doing that, I've been even slower before I eat. I eat slower. I have been thinking about that thing that I always talk about when I do talks and when I speak to people about, when you look down at your plate, is that an act of love or an act of harm or violence even, you know? But is that an act of love? And, you know, stopping, like finishing, were you going to do something to that fly?
No.
Finishing your food, like when you're, you know, you don't want to eat anymore, stop.
Mm-hmm.
And the meditation obviously helps you to, well, it helps me to make better decisions. So, yep, you have the organic food and then you, the meditation drops you back into being, you know, for me, being more like myself and making good decisions more slowly and going, you know what, if I don't have time to do everything in my day, I've got tomorrow. But most importantly, I'm going to prepare good food for me because that nourishes every part of me.
So you brought it back here again.
No, I am.
Indoctrination.
Are you indoctrinated to eat organic now?
No, but I can't even think anything else now.
But the reason being is I'm saying, like, I eat organic all the time, but because of your meditation, I'm giving...
Oh, you're bringing it back around?
Bringing it back to meditation. Yeah. Because of that, and especially because I've been on the go lately, it's that one time where it's helped me even make better food decisions or not overeating or not undereating because I want to get to the banana farm instead of eating. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to eat. Or this morning I left at 4:30, but maybe I was a bit late, but I was like, I'm going to make sure that I have all of my food. That's important. And without the meditation, I think I just would have like gone on the fly. So it is beneficial, especially nowadays, to switch off our phones and computers and stop watching
nonsense.
Stop watching your podcast all day and actually meditate.
Yeah.
And it helps switching off the phone.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that good? I didn't bring it back to organics.
That was great. It was a good wrap up. Should we meditate?
We should.
Because I need to meditate now after that. That potty was pretty epic. But I need a rest. I need to close the eyes. And if you'd like to learn to meditate, go into learn2med.com. That's right. learn2med.com. Running weekly courses on Zoom. Check it out. Aren't I?
Yeah.
It's true, right? I'm not making it up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good courses. What, 3 nights a week?
3 nights. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Life changing.
Yeah.
And it works.
And it works.
Yeah.
Well, I would want to hope so.
And you don't have to be a tradie to participate.
Or spiritual.
Don't have to be spiritual. Are we all spiritual? No.
It's for one to decide for themselves, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great.
Let's
meditate now then, because I need a recharge.
And then some organic bananas.
Beautiful.